which leads us to our segment for today. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. In the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. And he's also a distinguished Toastmaster who in 2011 was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the third Thursday of each month. Let's have a little introduction of music before we listen to Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief.
Well, welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I'm your host for this segment of Speaking of Listening, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all your relationships by listening from your aware heart. And I will be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building this fall. For more information, please email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's ahbuss at consciousawareheart, all one word, .com. Or check out my website, consciousawareheart.com. Now, listening is not just about hearing what the other person is saying. It's much more. It's about engaging the other person in a dialogue, a dance, if you will. It's not about just silently hearing what the words are. It's about responding in a way that allows the other person to keep sharing more of what they're doing. But today, I'm going to talk about something that I get asked about probably more than anything else, and that is how to respond to criticism. Now, remember, I'm going to remind you that the only place of responsiveness from the aware heart is in the heart. It comes from that joy, that energy from within. And whenever we're reactive, no matter what is coming at us, then we're not coming from a place of our aware heart. And I'm going to show you how criticism comes from a place of hurt. In other words, when you hear somebody criticizing or verbally attacking you, what they're really doing is they're expressing their own pain. And so I'm going to encourage you to hear the pain and not take the blame. And again, to validate their feelings, but not take the blame. Because everybody's feelings are absolutely okay, regardless of how uncomfortable or negative they may seem. And then I'll talk about how to respond rather than react to the criticism. And then if you're like most listeners, you probably are at least thinking some yeah buts, and I will try to address some of those yeah buts and finish up with what I call the 1-2 as a way of both validating the person who might be attacking you verbally, and also making sure that you keep yourself okay and ideally seek to not have it happen again. So first I'm going to talk about responding to criticism. And now, unless you're a hermit and never interact with anyone else, if you have relationships like most of us do, and again, this isn't, I'm not just talking about intimate relationships, but you know, friendships, even acquaintances, colleagues, bosses, subordinates, but especially someone with whom we're in an intimate relationship, the chances are very great that you hear criticism from time to time. Now, I know that all of my listeners are just so wonderful that it's hard to imagine that anybody would ever criticize them for anything, and I'm absolutely sure and convinced that that's true. Nevertheless, trust me that it happens. Now, one of the most respected researchers in marriage and relationships, John Gottman, distinguishes criticism from complaint. Now, what I, and to be fair, a complaint is not as bad as a criticism, but if you hear the word complaint, what it means to most of us is that it's simply a milder way of criticizing. In other words, if I'm complaining about something that you're doing, then in a way I'm really criticizing you. And both criticisms and complaints have a potential of damaging a relationship. So as respected as Gottman is, this is where I disagree with him on that, because a complaint that is commonly received and heard as a you statement. And remember, a you statement is when you're pointing the finger and saying, you know, that you're the problem. Now, when Gottman talks about a complaint, it's actually a little closer to what's called an I message. In fact, in many ways, it's a little bit more effective than an I message. And again, my purpose isn't to talk about that. If you're certainly welcome to look up his information. It's actually quite valuable. But the idea is the idea that he talks about is definitely in line with what I recommend with what I call an impact statement. Now, because the way that he was addressing that is to, if you have a complaint or if there's something you want to change, then he recommends using it as a complaint rather than a criticism, and that's certainly valid. I would recommend that you use an impact statement that I've talked about in other contexts. I'm not going to talk about that here, but I will talk about it in an upcoming statement. In other words, his advice is for the person criticizing and to state it as a complaint. My focus here is on the one who is receiving the criticism. In other words, when you hear the criticism, then that's the starting point here. And the idea is not to try to change the other person, again, to respond from your aware heart. So here are some criticisms or complaints that you might hear. You know, you just won't listen. Before I studied these communication skills, I heard that quite a bit. Or, you did this to me. How about this one? You're so selfish. Or, you're so unfair. How about this one? You never think of me. Or, you never pay attention to me. Now, chances are that you may have heard at least one or possibly more, maybe even all of these in recent times. And remember that there is not anything wrong with the person who is stating those. Remember that if you hear this from someone, they're in a place of pain, and I'll talk about that a little more. And they're expressing it in the best way that they know how in that moment. Because in every moment, we're all doing the best we can in that moment with what we have and what we can do in that moment. That's all that we have. And what I'm encouraging you here is to stay in your aware heart when you hear the criticism. Now, there are two ways of reacting. One is by absorbing the criticism. You know, you're right. I'm terrible. I really messed up. You know, I'm just a bad husband. I'm a bad friend. This is coming from the child or victim place, and I've talked about that. And it doesn't really help because, in several ways, it makes yourself wrong. And this stance can actually be used as a manipulation. In other words, by kind of caving in. And, you know, and absorbing all this, a lot of times you're trying to manipulate the other person into feeling sorry for you. Now, another way of reacting is by counterattacking. Well, you think I'm bad. Well, look in the mirror and you'll see somebody who's bad. Or, you think I'm selfish. You're the selfish one. Now, this is coming from the parent or the judge. And again, this is making the other person wrong. And this is a reaction. And this is not coming from your aware heart. It's trying to put the blame back on the other person. You're trying to redirect the energy back to them and away from yourself. But in the aware heart, you're okay, and they're okay, and that you keep all of your response with all of that in mind and body and spirit. Now, staying in the aware heart, it can be very challenging, especially if the criticism really gets you. We all have wounded buttons that kind of are ones that if they get pressed, then we just kind of react and almost instinctually. And these often come from childhood wounds that kind of go back. And the people closest to us seem to have their finger on our buttons. They find out where all they are, and they start pressing them. And the thing to understand is to recognize that this is your wounded child being triggered. And as I've described the ways of reacting by being the child or the victim or the parent or the judge, what may come to mind as you hear that is a time when that's how you reacted. And I certainly confess that there have been times even recently where that's how I've reacted. The important thing is not to beat yourself up for that, not to judge yourself, but to use it as a learning opportunity. In fact, to recognize that if you've reacted, then it means that's a wound in you that hasn't healed. Think of supposing somebody criticizes something about you that you know is not true. Let's say you're 6 feet tall and somebody says, "Oh, you're such a shorty." Well, that's probably not going to get you because you're not a short person, or you know that that's not an issue. On the other hand, some people have other things that might get them a little bit more. So think of the buttons that you have and how they get pressed. And recognize that when you react, that's a pointer in you to a wound that hasn't healed. And that can be so valuable. In other words, the person who is verbally criticizing you is really doing you a big favor, because they're helping you recognize what your own sense of woundedness is. And that gives you the opportunity of healing it. Because if you don't recognize it, then how can you heal it? Now, remember that all criticism comes from a place of hurt. And I say all criticism, and I make no exception for that. There are many traditions that say this in different ways. And A Course in Miracles says that all attack is a call for help. The second agreement of the four agreements, don't take anything personally. So they make no exception in the second agreement. Don't take anything personally, no matter what the other person is saying. I like the acronym Q-tip, quit taking it personally. That's one easy to remember and something that sticks with me. And remember that if you react, then that means you're coming from a place of pain. That means your wound has been triggered. And then if the other person who is attacking you is in pain and you react from pain, then you're both in pain. And the saying that I like to remember for this is, don't take the blame, track the pain. Don't take the blame, validate the pain. To respond from the aware heart means to validate the other person's feelings, but without making yourself a target. Because the aware heart doesn't make anybody wrong. It doesn't make the other person wrong. It doesn't make you wrong. And if they have a legitimate complaint, you know, validate that. Let them know that they have a right to what they want. Doesn't mean they're going to get it, but they have a right to that. And that even if they're saying, you know, that you did this, remember that you did not have an intent to hurt them. Supposing you accidentally step on somebody's toe. Well, I mean, it's going to hurt them. But did you intend to hurt them? No. Now, as you respond, and I'll get into some specifics in a moment, as you respond, the other person, as they start to feel heard and understood, they will naturally move into their heart, and that will lower their energy. And I hear you thinking, all this is fine and good, but Arnie, how do I do it? Well, I'm glad you asked. By tracking. And I've talked about tracking in previous segments, and you can review those on my website, which has an archive of all my past segments. And tracking is something that I'm very passionate about and talk about a lot. So the first thing is what I've said already, to stay in your aware heart. Don't react. Don't take it personally. Now, with criticism, what you want to do is you want to match the energy of the speaker. And I'm going to roughly bracket the two types of criticism you might hear. You might hear a lower energy and a higher energy. A lower energy is, well, with lower intensity. A higher energy is when somebody's really, really upset and they're really letting you know that with their voice, and you can hear that. Now, many communication experts think, oh, you got to be calm. If the other person is ranting, you've got to respond calmly and softly. Now, internally, this is important. Internally, what I interpret that to mean is by staying in your aware heart. But externally, in the way you respond, it tends to undershoot the speaker's energy and just drive them through the roof. Yeah, just think of a time when you may have been angry and the other person was sitting there very calm. Did that really calm you down? If you're like most of us, it didn't. In fact, if anything, it just made you even more angry. Why? Think about why that might be so. Because energetically, they weren't with you. They weren't getting you. There's something that you're really upset about, and they're just kind of calm. Oh, yeah, no, no, no. That shows that they don't really, they don't get it. They don't understand. But if you match the speaker's energy and you respond in ways that I'm going to tell you about in just a little bit, then the speaker can't help but feel heard and feel that you get them and want to continue in a more effective way. So the way to respond, especially with high energy, is just below that of the speaker. In other words, you want to match their energy, but just a little bit below it. Don't overshoot it. You don't want to you don't want to get louder and then start getting into a shouting match. And remember, energy does not always mean volume. You can be intense without having to be loud. But if the other person is loud, then you will probably have to raise the volume of your voice. Now, remember that in tracking, there were the four W's. What did they say? Why did they say it? What did they feel? And then you keep with that until they look up and say what they want. And with lower intensity criticism, that's a good way to go. However, with high intensity and with anger, you want to, that will actually drive them a little bit crazy. So what you want to do there is go directly to the want. You go to that fourth W. Now, usually that's not recommended, but only in this case. So with anger or criticism, you go directly to the want. And you might be asking, how do I know what they want? The thing is that if you can decode their criticism, then they're telling you what they want. And staying in your aware heart and not taking it personally gives you the space to really get what that message is. So I want to give you some examples. So here's the first one. I'm first at the lower energy level. The person says, you just won't listen. So at the lower energy, you know, you could say something. Well, maybe you could express what you feel needs to be heard. But if they say it louder, say, you just won't listen. You want to go right to the want. So there's something you want to be heard, and you don't feel that's happened yet. Now, Did you hear the difference in the energy? You want to match their energy. And it is really hard to stay angry if the other person is telling you exactly what you want in a way that you can hear with that energy. Another example, you did this to me. And again, like, you're not sure what this is, but maybe you could express what you feel happened. Or if it's, you did this to me. So you want to be assured that this will never happen again. Or, so that was totally not okay with you. How about this one? You're so selfish. So you feel like you're not getting your fair share. Or, you're so selfish. So you want to have your needs taken into consideration. You're so unfair. So something doesn't feel right to you. You're so unfair. So you want things to be more equitable. You never pay attention to me. So you want to spend some quality time together. You're such a slob. So you want the place to be kept neater and not have to pick up after me. Do you see how the message of the criticism, the underlying message, gets decoded by the response? And I challenge each one of you to think of what might be said following that response. The key is not to just end with the one response, because the other person is almost always going to come back with more. But you keep tracking them relentlessly. You validate them. You stay in your aware heart. And I guarantee you that the energy will come down and you'll reach a point that you'll be able to express more of what you want. Because once somebody really feels heard and gotten, it is almost impossible to keep that high energy up. And nevertheless, I can hear through the through the wire, across the waves, through the internet, your yeah buts. You might be thinking, oh, this would never work. I could never say that. Well, if you're thinking this would never work, let me ask you this. Have you tried it? And if you haven't, then how do you know it won't work? You might be thinking, I could never say that. That sounds weird. Again, have you tried it? Now, what I've been talking about is not something that's some kind of theoretical academic exercise. These are all ways of responding that I've tried and I found to be effective. And I've tried many alternatives and found this way to be the one that is most reliable and gives me the best outcomes that I want for both myself, for the other person, and for the relationship. Because at the end of all this, what I do is I learn something that I didn't know before about what's going on with the other person. Now, another yeah, but you might be thinking is, what about boundaries? Or why should I accept being treated badly? You know, who wants to be yelled at? You know, are you saying that it's okay for this person to yell at me like that? Absolutely not. It is not okay. If somebody's needs are not being met, and they were skillful in their aware heart, they would express it in a way that doesn't make you wrong. So if you're hearing criticism, if you're hearing something that's making you wrong, it means that the other person is not in their aware heart. Another yeah, but is, you don't know my spouse. You don't know my partner. This would never work on them. You don't know my kid. He's just terrible. You don't know my parent. You don't know my mother-in-law. This just doesn't work on people like that. Well, one of the things that I tell my attendees in a segment on how to deal with difficult people is actually very short, and that is because in my opinion and my experience, there's no such thing as a difficult person. There's only a person in pain. And by tracking and responding from the aware heart, you can help that person's pain in a way. They're in pain, and by responding this way, you can help them get out of the pain. And once they're out of pain, then things are open to a dialogue so that there can be an exchange of communication and not just a one-way. Now, the most common yabut that I hear is essentially, you know, if somebody's talking to me that way, that this is verbal abuse, why should I have to put up with it? Why should I have to be put up with being criticized or yelled at? You don't. You don't have to put up with it. You can set up a limit, again, with this related skill called an impact statement. But following a situation, let's say, where a person has been yelling at you, the key to setting the limit is to bring the two of you to a place where the other person can hear and respond to you rather than react. In the moment where they're angry and criticizing, that person is not open to hearing a limit, and it will typically simply lead to more conflict. And all of the recommendations that I've heard with, you know, as soon as somebody says, oh, you can't talk to me that way, I won't listen to this, or recommendations of walking away or setting a timeout. The thing is that that almost never works outside of a therapist's office. A timeout is almost never okay with one of the two people. And that often leads to them stewing in their anger and then building even more resentment. So here's the approach that I recommend. And this is based upon first tracking the other person until they feel heard. And when they feel heard, you can feel it. You can feel, it's like a release of energy. It's almost like a sigh. And it's quite remarkable. It's very noticeable once you pay attention to them. Now, once the other person has calmed down, then they're open to hearing a gentle but firm limit. Now, anything other than a gentle limit will create more conflict. And as I said, the way that most complaints or I messages are constructed, they come across as disguised you messages. The key to setting a limit is to say it in a way that doesn't make anybody wrong. Again, the same principle behind tracking. So what I call the 1-2, the one is to track and validate first. And you keep tracking and validating until the other person has gotten into their aware heart. And as I said, you can feel that energetically. You can really sense that. But then the 2 is to state your limit. Now, I mean, if you're simply in other situations that aren't over conflict like this, then it's usually enough to reach the look up and the want of the other person. But for this, you do want to state your limit because it's not okay to be spoken like that. But the most effective way of getting that message across is when they are receptive to it. Now, remember that when you track and validate, you only use the word you. You always kind of put it back on the other person. And remember not to turn a tracking statement into a you statement. So even though you use the word you, you don't use it in a blaming way. So a tracking statement validates, as a you statement blames. And remember, validating is not agreeing. You're not saying that you agree with them, but it's acknowledging their thoughts and feelings and that you're agreeing that they have a right to that. In a way, it's almost a communication namaste. Now, once you've tracked them down to their calmness, then you state your limit. And ideally, you validate them so that they feel heard and understood and have nothing more to say about that. So don't proceed until you feel you've really kind of dug it all up. And then state your bottom line gently but firmly. And one of the keys is to drop your voice at the end. And that communicates the clarity of purpose and resolve. So you might say something like, I'm always open to hearing your thoughts. what feels uncomfortable is to be spoken to in a voice which is louder than I feel comfortable with. And I'd like to be assured that whenever there's a problem, that it's brought up in a way that doesn't make me wrong. There are other ways, depending on exactly what the circumstances are. But the key is to keep the voice gentle and but firm, to drop it at the end, which communicates your clarity of purpose and your resolve. And that is so much more effective than an angry response, because an angry response tends to be discounted. So if the conversation has been initiated with a criticism or a complaint or anything that makes you wrong, then stay deliberate about that. You know, it's okay to point out that things need to be picked up. What's not okay is to be called a slob. So I hope this has given you some ideas. What I encourage you to do is, until we speak again, to watch out for times when you might hear a criticism and just observe your own reaction. See whether or not you react to it, whether it hits a wounded button for you, or whether you can just kind of acknowledge the pain of the other person. And until then, remember today I've talked about responding to criticism in a place of the aware heart. To hear the pain, don't take the blame. Validate feelings and how to respond rather than react to criticism. And remember the 1-2. 1, track and validate. 2, set your limit. And so you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you so much for joining me. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every third Thursday at 5 o'clock right here on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. To learn more about effective community listening and much more in my workshops on effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart, all one word. Like me on Facebook at awareheart. I have a Twitter handle. I've been a little skimpy on that lately, but it's effect5com. That's the word effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. Or you can visit my website at www.consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen from your aware heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.